Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the program. It is Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, your host out here in Las Vegas. Fabulous Las Vegas today, and your other host is in the East Coast, or on the East Coast. How about that? Josh Applebaum. Josh, how are you?
Pritch, I'm doing great. It's great to be with you here on a Tuesday. And two things before we get the show started. Number one, Pritch, you know I'm always honest with you. Sometimes I love the board. Sometimes you really do some work to find a sharp play. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you right now, I really, really like the board today. I think it's a huge baseball day. 15 games in Major League Baseball. A lot of sharp moves. A lot of fade the trendy dog. A lot of interleague type situations. Sharp line moves to talk about. So excited to talk to Josh Towers, our guy, later in the show. Also NBA. We're getting to the stretch run here. And there's a lot of intriguing moves, not only spread, but totals here, Pritch. I got right. A little angle here. You're my guy. We like to sweat some overs. I have an over angle in the month of May. That's done pretty good thus far. So I love the board. And sometimes, you know, you love a board and you say, hey, it's going to be a great day and you don't have a good day. Or maybe you hate the board and it ends up being a great day. But either way, I think there's a lot of good games to talk about. And then number two, Pritch, what do you think about the Oakland A's moving to your neck of the woods here?
Oh, you heard about that.
Las Vegas. Yeah, it's crazy. I just read this article from Jeff Passan and ESPN, and obviously Oakland forever has been trying to get a new stadium there to replace the Coliseum, and they're really not getting any traction. So the idea of relocating or an expansion team is starting to pick up steam. And what I like here is, you know, Rob Manfred, he's thrown out a couple different places, Portland, Vancouver, Nashville, Charlotte, and Montreal. But as you know, Pritch, the most likely destination that Jeff Passan threw out was Las Vegas due to the success of the Raiders, the Golden Knights. So what do you think? It'll be pretty hot there in the summer. They might need a retractable roof if they come to Vegas. What do you think, Pritch?
I think it could work. They have one in Arizona. So that's work down there for D-backs, as we know. There's a plot of land, Josh, ready for a baseball team. And it's like just north of Allegiant Stadium and then just west of T-Mobile, where the arena is for hockey, and then football is right down the way. So you could have an entire stadium district right there from the city planning standpoint. So bring it on, Major League Baseball. I think they're talking about expanding anyway, right?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, definitely an opening. It's been a while. When was the last one? Was Tampa Bay and the Arizona D-backs here. So, you know, again, I think it's a perfect idea because in Vegas, Pritch, remember, it's kind of like, would there be fans? There's transplants, you know, but are they really going to attract that beloved fan base that you're going to need to sustain a Major League team or a pro team in general? And I think just seeing how the Knights from, you know, year one, it's become a Knights town, and seeing obviously the success of the Raiders, even through the pandemic with no fans, kind of making a move there. I think it makes a ton of sense. And it's just, hey, if you're going to Vegas and it's a nice summer day and maybe Cirque du Soleil is sold out, Pritch, go to an Oakland or a Vegas Athletics game.
Right.
Sounds good to me.
Cirque du Soleil will be sold out too, by the way. And the AAA team is out here in Vegas too, the Aviators. They're just west of Vegas too in Summerlin. So it makes a ton of sense. We're going to get back to baseball because of Josh Towers. He's going to be on a program. Maybe he can shine some light on that as well. But you're right, a big schedule today. And I'm happy that you're enthusiastic about the card today because that's a good chance for us to cash some tickets. And I always love that. So let's start with the National Football League, though. Some news and notes again. We got the Aaron Rodgers drama. So Ian Rapoport reports that the Packers made a significant long-term contract extension offer to Aaron Rodgers. Where are you at now? I mean, it didn't really move the needle in terms of Rodgers' next team. The Packers is still minus 134. The Broncos a plus 175. The 49ers plus 600. But some more developments here, you know, according to Ian Rapoport and what the Packers have done with Rodgers.
Yeah, you're totally right, Pritch. So, you know, we rewind to last week when we did a show together. This was all kind of really just starting out. And I think the biggest thing we noticed was a couple of these teams, you know, down the list here, the Broncos number one. I think there was, the football team, maybe, you know, a couple of these teams that, and the Raiders who Rodgers quote unquote had on his list basically to move. We saw some movement with those teams here. And you look at the 49ers too. That's another team where what happened? They're going to have to write a 30 for 30 on what happened with Mac Jones and Trey Lance. And, you know, I'm still wondering why Malcolm Butler didn't play in the Super Bowl against the Eagles here, Pritch. Will we ever know what happened with Mac Jones in the third pick? I don't know. But we did see the 49ers rise, the Broncos rise. But to me, the fact that – so I look at one of two ways. You know, Rapoport is saying here that they've made a considerable offer here to Aaron Rodgers. You know, is that real or not? It could be real. It could also be, hey, if he leaves and you trade him, you could say, we did our best. We offered him a bajillion dollars here. He didn't want it. He wanted to move on here. But to me, the biggest thing is, look at the favorite here, Pritch. It's still the Packers. that's kind of the thing that goes under the radar. I think it's like, you know, we're looking at all these different options. Where can he go? What can the payouts be? But really, we've seen consistently the Packers stay like a minus 125 favorite for Rodgers to make his first start next year, which team it'll be, the Packers. And it's become even a little bit more of a favorite. So again, it's a topic that I think until we get a resolution, either until Rodgers signs a new deal or until he gets traded, this is going to be probably one of the most popular prop bets. You know, I wonder what the handle is going to be on this prop bet, because I think, you know, no matter where you're located, what fan base, or you just want to get down on this, there's a lot of money to be made if you think he's going somewhere and you can pick off one of these plus money teams. But to me, Pritch, I think until he gets traded, I'm still thinking he's going to stick with the Packers here. Devontae Adams added a little bit of pressure.
Yeah,
saying,
he did.
Yeah, that's my guy, and you know, I don't want to catch balls from anyone else. And his contract's coming up. Is he a free agent after this year, Pritch?
He is.
They're going to have to make a move here.
Right, they could franchise tag him if they wanted to. I mean, it's Devontae Adams. I mean, of course they could do that. The Aaron Rodgers situation too, though. If Aaron Rodgers does not want to play for the Packers, I don't know if money is going to solve that problem. But what about if they traded Jordan Love, though? You think the Packers would do that?
See, I don't know, Pritch. I feel like you've invested in Jordan Love. You took a high pick. You know, you moved up to get him, and you've already got him in your system for a year. It's almost like, you know, I always like it, you know, kind of course, because you work with me. It's always Patriots and Boston all the time. But you invest all that, you know, time and energy into Jimmy G. You end up trading him away because Brady kind of outlived his deal. You didn't think he'd be this good for this long. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. To me, I don't think you trade the young guy to stick with the old guy to milk out a couple more years. To me, if you're forward thinking, and it, you know, we have seen precedent here with what happened with Brett Favre and drafting Rodgers and him sitting. So I don't know. That would be a very bold move. To me, I think the play would be trade Rodgers, you know, move it over, you know, move the whole thing over to Love. I just think age wise, you know, would you rather have, I don't know, 2 more years of Rodgers or maybe 10 to 15 of Love? I think Love would be probably the less popular bet if you're a Packers fan.
Sure.
It'd be the smarter bet long term.
But here's where I'm confused about the front office, though. They're offering him a contract extension. So why wouldn't they trade Jordan Love then? What use do they have for Jordan Love? And so if you really want to make Aaron Rodgers happy, and if that's what this is all about, making him happy, if you're the Packers, why not do that? I mean, do everything possible to keep Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it's a great point here, Pritch. And again, you know, if they were doing everything that would make him happy, I don't think they'd take a cornerback in the first round of the draft too, here, you know,
right.
So that's part of it as well. But I'm with you. You know, I think the Packers, they're walking a very fine line. They mm-hmm. kind of want it both ways. They want to say, we offered him this big money. He's our guy. We want to stick with him. But then also they're not really making all the moves or the boxes you would check if you want to keep the guy. So we're going to see how this plays out. But to me, the biggest thing when I look at these odds, yes, there are teams that are leapfrogging. Yes, you know, the Broncos, the 49ers, their payouts are getting smaller, which means maybe there's a little bit of action on those teams. But I keep going back to the fact of Packers the favorite, slightly more of a favorite. Until we see another team get to the minus money, or maybe the Packers drop, maybe like that draft day steam we saw with Trey Lance, I'm still thinking he stays, but maybe it's a one and done, or who knows. I think, didn't they want to trade him before the draft, Pritch? You know, it seems to me like they're kind of late.
Yeah.
If you did it, you want to maybe have done it last year. I don't know.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, it does get interesting about Devontae Adams. Like you mentioned, here's a quote, doesn't mean potentially I'd be gone, but I definitely have to do some extra thinking if my guy wasn't here. And that's Devontae Adams, one of the better wide receivers in the National Football League. So it's falling apart by the seams out there in Green Bay. It feels like that anyway. I think Aaron Rodgers has the ultimate wild card in his back pocket, though, Josh, and that is to play the Brett Favre card. You know what the Brett Favre card is?
Tell me more. What is
well,
this?
Well, it's I'm going to retire. And then the Packers move on with Jordan Love. And then Aaron Rodgers is like, I'm going to unretire and come back in the middle of training camp. So now, Green Bay, what are you going to do? Are you going to move Jordan Love, or I'm going to come back to be the quarterback? Or now do you have to move me because you don't have any more room on the roster for me? So that's the ultimate Brett Favre move. And I think Aaron Rodgers is headed that way.
No, I think it's a great idea by you, Pritch. Of course, you know, I'm thinking back to it now. When was that, Brett Favre, like 2010 to like 2014? I felt like every offseason it was, you know, you see him on like a tractor in Alabama, and he's like, he's throwing the rocker. He's working for a high school team. It's like, will he come back? Will he not? The Jets, and then the Vikings here. So that's an interesting point here, Pritch. And also, you know, is the blood so bad at this point that Rodgers, almost needling them kind of the way they did with different draft picks and stuff like that. You know, that's a great point here. And again, you know, what do you do with Jordan Love, a QB you invested in, or do you keep Rodgers? I think it's fascinating here. We're going to have to see how it plays out, but yeah, I don't know, Pritch. I go every day. I'm like, it's back and forth on what's going right. to happen here. And I think I'm waiting it out just like everyone else.
All right. So let's get to the other drama in the National Football League. One, Tim Tebow. Who is going to be a Jacksonville Jaguar, apparently. Will he make the roster? I don't know, but apparently they're going to sign him at the tight end position. Okay, Josh, you know what the circus is when it involves Tim Tebow up there in New England. What are we doing here with Tim Tebow down there in Jacksonville? Are we taking this serious? There's some props out there, and I'm curious what you think. Receiving yards, 12.5 over under, minus 112 both sides. Receiving touchdowns is a half. The over is plus 350. The under minus 500.
Yeah, so I'll liken this to kind of – so number one, I'll give Tebow a lot of credit. I'm a big Tebow fan. Obviously, Josh McDaniels drafted him so high. Really wasn't the greatest pick of all time. But remember that playoff game against the Steelers? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the pinnacle of really what we saw Tebow in the NFL. And I did see, you know, he had a training camp, cup of coffee with the Patriots here. When was that, 2014, 2015, right, kind of before he left the league. But I will give him credit for this. He's the kind of guy that – everyone says he can't play baseball. He ended up, you know, not making the majors, but he gave it a shot. Everyone says he's too old for football. He can't play quarterback. He's given another shot just from a human element. I got to give the guy credit, you know, haters and doubters. He gives these things a good effort. So I got to tip my cap to him in that regard, but I will. So my take on kind of these prop bets with the over under, you know, receiving yards, number one, 12.5. Pritch, you could get that on the first play of the game, just an out route when you were in the league here. But, you know, over a half touchdown, these numbers are extremely low. But I would liken it to also when he was, you know, doing every year for the Mets. I remember there are these prop bets where, you know, what would his average be? How many home runs would he have for the Mets? When would he make his debut for the Mets? And they got a ton of action and people just rooting for Tebow would take the over. Mm-hmm. And these prop bets, you talk about futures bets, a lot of these Tebow Major League Baseball props with the Mets, years and years and years went by and you had to wait years for them to cash, but all the unders cashed. I vividly remember this because you kept thinking, you know, he would play. And even if like sell some tickets, just to have him out there, he might go 0-for-4, but you know, people will come and try to watch him play. So I don't know. Is this a gimmick or not, Pritch? I'll defer to you. I mean, obviously you have the Meyer connection. Tight end, I looked at his height and his weight. What is he? 6'3", 250. But you've been out of the league for 5 years. I don't know. To me, it seems like a fun bet where you're going to root for Tebow. I would be careful with this one. Until I see him make the roster, I'm a little skeptical.
Yeah, there's only one person apparently advocating for Tim Tebow, and that's Urban Meyer. I don't know if everybody is on the same page as Urban Meyer within the organization. There's a quotes that we're receiving right now. And Tim Tebow, I don't know if he's, in fact, a true tight end. I think he'd be like a gadget player, like a Taysom Hill kind of player. And certainly, could he make the roster that way? I mean, we saw him do special teams. He was the up man on the punt team, I believe, up there in New York, as they just tried to use this guy. So Tim Tebow wants to do sports. We know that. He's a guy who is a tremendous athlete, and he just can't let it go. And so I don't know what's inside him, inside his heart, and what that would present to the Jacksonville Jaguars, but yet his athleticism, though, I think Urban Meyer is at least curious about that. Now, if he doesn't make the team, can they stash Tim Tebow and then at some point during the year bring in Tim Tebow? And so essentially this over plus 350, over a half a touchdown, receiving touchdowns, I think that's a bet for him to make the roster or not.
I'm right there with you, Pritch. And again, you know, I liken it to Meyer and kind of what he's doing with this move. And it seems to me like you're making that leap from college to the NFL. You need to have a locker room that believes in you. And yeah. You know, we've seen Belichick a lot of times. He has his special teams guys, his Matthew Slaters, his McCourties, you know, these veterans who really kind of kept that Patriot way going. And I think maybe this is a play, not expecting him to cash all these over props, but to kind of get the locker room in favor of Meyer, a guy who will do anything, will be on the punt team. You know, they've definitely changed the rules with more practice squad eligible players. So is he just, you know, kind of a glue guy that you want in your locker room that's going to really, you know, you see Tebow, this guy who, very famous guy, but look what he's doing. He's covering punts. Does that get the whole team going and have Meyer kind of have a guy in his back pocket that he can help get that locker room in the right direction? So that's something to keep an eye out, too. And I like your Taysom Hill idea. You know, Tebow Can he separate? You know, what are his hands like? We don't know, but can he just do little things? Can he make one catch here and there? I mean, again, if you're an X factor type player, and again, selling tickets, let's call it as it is, Pritch. When if Tebow makes that roster, his jersey sales, I think they might be exceed Tom Brady here going into next year.
I know, wouldn't that be crazy? I tell you what, not everybody likes this move, and in fact, from a former player standpoint, Josh, I would view this move as Tim Tebow being the informant for Urban Meyer. Like, they always have one guy that's the informant. What's going on in the locker room? Who's talking this? Who's saying that? Tim Tebow could be the informant for Urban Meyer.
I like it. We're going to have a new movie. It's Pritch and Tebow. It's called The Informant. And we're going to, we're going to have to keep an eye out on that, Pritch. But I'm with you again. To me, it's if Urban Meyer was not the coach,
right,
I don't think Tebow would never get another shot in the NFL. But because of this connection, and can he do different things? Can he line up as a fullback and, you know, get out the flat? I don't know, but can he throw a pass for you? I'm excited Tebow might be back, though. I'm a Tebow guy. I root for the guy.
All right. I'm not going to root for him. I'm curious to see what the betting action is going to be. I want to know the handle on the Tim Tebow props. Coming up next, we're going to break down the NBA. We're down to the wire in the association. That's coming up next. Everybody, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip. Be sure to have that state-issued ID, open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love the state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you feel you have a problem, it's 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the show. It is Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. Josh, big schedule in the NBA, down the wire here. I mean, jockeying for position. However, I mean, I'm still looking for motivation, I think, when it comes to the association. So let's start with your Boston Celtics. We're not going to circle back. We're going to start right there with the Boston Celtics. They're in that playoff play-in situation, I would say. They are plus 105 against the Heat at home. 225 is the total.
Yeah, so first thing, I'll tell you one thing, Pritch. Boston is very disappointed with the Jaylen Brown injury. I can just tell you, the Celtics have kind of been really infuriating this year, a team that has gotten better and better, and this year, for whatever reason, Danny Ainge, we've talked about all year, Pritch doing shows, not replacing a lot of these guys that they lost. But you still thought the Celtics, even though they've been one step forward, two steps back, all year, you still thought, hey, we get in the playoffs, we can make some noise. But with Jaylen Brown out for the year now with a torn ligament in his wrist, that's a big hit here for the Celtics. But with that being said, you know, this is a rematch of a game from a couple days ago, from over the weekend, where Miami won 130-124, and it was actually not as close as it really the final score indicated. Pretty much Miami dominated that game, and you had some sharp movement toward Miami in that spot as well. The intriguing thing to me, Pritch, is the public is all over the Heat, and I think because of this Jaylen Brown news, remember, he was out anyway with some other injuries, but now he won't be returning for the playoffs. Because of that, there's so much heavy betting on the Heat today, and I really don't blame people if you want to back the Heat here. The Celtics have been a maddening team to bet on this season. However, this is a hazmat play where if you want to take the points, maybe the Celtics show up here because they open as a Heat minus two favorite on the road. Heat are getting 2/3 of bets. They're the public play tonight. They just beat the Celtics the other day. No Jaylen Brown now. Celtics look down and out. Yet, here's the kicker, Pritch. Line's down to 1.5. So that tells me that even though, you know, public heavy betting on the Heat open at 2, why didn't it go to 2.5 or 3? It went the other way. It's falling toward the Celtics. So that would be kind of a sharp reverse line move, buying low, buying bad news on the Celtics losing Jaylen Brown here. It also matched some systems that I look for. Stevens as a dog with the Celtics in his career, 56%. He's done well in this spot. if you're worried about that play and you don't like that Celtics line move, the other thing, Pritch, I would look toward the over a little bit.
Okay.
224.5, 225-ish. It's been on the rise a little bit. And you also have just these teams kind of in the last, I would say, maybe week or so, cashing a lot of over tickets. And this goes into one of my favorite systems in the month of May right now. Overs are doing very well, especially if they stay the same or rise. So in the month of May, overs are 56%. If they stay the same or rise, they get up to 70%, Pritch, 28-13. So I'd look to the over a little bit. And if you're brave enough to kind of follow a sharp line move, I like the Celtics plus the points.
Okay, we have the standings up right now. The Celtics are the 7th seed. They're 12 games back. Okay, you got the Heat as a 6th seed, Josh. 2 games at 10 ahead of the Celtics. I mean, this essentially is for a play-in situation, this game, I would think. Do the Celtics have it within them? I mean, we saw the bubble between these two teams. We saw the matchup, the Heat, Celtics going back and forth. We talk about injuries now. Brown, that is a huge injury for the Celtics. What about the pedigree, and can we back that here with the Celtics?
So just anecdotally, living in Boston, watching this team all year, this is a team that when really the going gets tough, they typically fold.
Okay.
So I'll say that now just because, you know, you have these great young players. You have Tatum, you have Brown. But really what you saw in this last game here against Miami is they really picked on Kemba Walker defensively. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not a great defensive player. He's a small guy. They really just kept posting him up. Remember the Heat beat the Celtics in the bubble there last year. So with all this being said, I think you're really banking on maybe the Celtics finally showing up. Maybe Jason Tatum saying, hey, I can't rely on my Robin to my Batman here. No Jaylen Brown. Let me take over. That's really what you're banking on. So even though like it feels to me like this isn't a spot the Celtics show up in, the line fell in their favor, Pritch, 2 down to 1.5. So it's one of those plays that looks disgusting. It's like, how do you not take the Miami Heat money line here? But hey, Celtics, maybe they surprise you tonight. Line's moving in their favor.
All right. See, you almost convinced me here to back this, to play this. Because I love the fact that, okay, we want to avoid the play-in situation. Okay, we can take care of business. We just beat the Heat. We have, what, about 4 games left here in the regular season, so maybe that can get done. So I'm curious about that. I'm going to think about that throughout the show. LeBron James, he might be coming back from this ankle situation. Will that be enough for the Lakers? It's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. If you missed any of our show today or any of the VSiN broadcasts, be sure to check out our free VSiN podcast. You can catch up on Follow the Money with Mitch and Pauly, A Numbers Game, or The Lombardi Line, all on the daily VSiN Best Bets podcast. Also check in with Gil Alexander's Beating the Book Pod, Josh Applebaum's Market Insights, get PGA Tour betting previews on Long Shots, the Ron Flatter Racing Pod, and of course the NBA Scoop with JVT on Hardwood Handicappers. Whatever you're betting on, we have a pod for it. Find them all for free at vsin.com/podcast. That's vsin.com/podcast. Welcome back to the show. It is Betting Across America. I am Mike Pritchard. He is Josh Applebaum. Thanks for joining us today. Josh, continuing with the association, the Nuggets at the Hornets. You know, this is an interesting game. You know, I don't know what the motivation would be for the Nuggets here, although they do feel like, I think they feel like they have a chip on their shoulder, maybe not getting the respect that they should be getting at this point of the season. We have them favorite -5.5 here. 223 is a total.
Yeah, so Pritch, non-conference matchup here. Both these teams struggling a little bit. You have the Nuggets, great record overall, 44-24, but they've lost 3 of their last 4, losing to Brooklyn, Utah. I mean, good competition here overall. Same thing with the Hornets. They've kind of gone win-loss, kind of rotated pretty much their last 5 or 6 games overall. So the first thing that jumped out to me is you do have some money on the Hornets here, and I do believe, looking back to last night, Pritch, I want to say dogs were 6-0 ATS. You've seen dogs do very well, and that might be something at the tail end of the season where, hey, maybe you got more to play for, or the favorites take their foot off the gas. That's something that I'm going to look for this kind of this last week or 2 weeks of the NBA season. But I do see some movement toward Charlotte here. You know, the Nuggets are a really big favorite here in terms of popularity. They're getting about 3 out of 4 spread bets saying, hey, they got a much better record. They'll easily just wax the floor with Charlotte tonight. And they very may well. But even though they're getting a majority of bets, you saw the Nuggets open -6.5. They're down to 5.5. You've seen a full point move toward the Hornets in this one. So that's kind of letting you know that such an unpopular play, yet the line's moving in their favor. Looks like you had some money hit the Hornets, ideally 6.5 or 6. But the thing that I like, Pritch, is the over in this game. You know, really kind of, I've kind of out of necessity, you know, gravitated a little more to totals, I would say, the last couple weeks or so, just because a lot of the spreads have been very erratic. Yet this angle where, I don't know if your legs are tired, you know, it was a short turnaround, the bubble to this year, or maybe you're not playing defense, it's all about effort and you're not really plugged in, you just want to get the, you know, the regular season over with here. But I do like this over quite a bit. You would have loved to have gotten it earlier, but a lot of money hitting this Nuggets Hornets over. It opened around 219, 220. Mm-hmm. It's bet up all the way to 223 here, Pritch. That system I mentioned earlier, in the month of May, these overs are 56%. If they stay the same rise, they get up to 70%. And also these non-conference overs, the lack of familiarity typically leads to not knowing how to match up on defense, you know, benefiting the offense here. And head-to-head, 5 of the last 6 between these two teams have gone over, and Denver's a pretty good over team, 37-30. So if you're worried about that move to the Hornets, and it's sharp, but hey, I don't know if I want to play it, that over looks pretty intriguing, although you would have liked to get it a little bit earlier.
Okay, Josh, this next game tips off at 8:10 Eastern. It's Brooklyn and Chicago. Chicago's catching 4.5 points at home, just 4.5 points. With Durant and KD, Irving on the floor here. 233.5 is a total. What are you seeing and what are you noticing with this market?
Yeah, so this one reminds me a little bit the bull spot tonight as where the Spurs were yesterday against the Bucks. Kind of a play that you didn't want to touch. It looked like they had no shot, but it is pretty, you know, notable to me that the Bulls are taking in some respective money here. So if you kind of look at the Nets, you're right, Pritch. You know, they have at least two of their big three should be suiting up tonight. But is this a team that, Pritch, I wonder, you know, are they just done with the regular season?
Yes.
You're just like, exactly. It's like, hey, you know, let's just get to the playoffs. Right. Do we really have to play the Bulls? What's the point? Maybe that's an angle that you can look for here, because we do have the Nets. They just beat Denver. But before that, they lost, I think, 4 or 5 straight. They hadn't been playing very good. And you look at the Bulls. They've won 3 straight. This coincided with LaVine coming back from the COVID protocol and Vucevic coming back into the lineup. So the fact that you have – this is one of the most lopsided plays of the night. Almost 80, 90% of bets are laying the wood with the Nets, yet the Nets open at 5. A lot of these shops are down to 4.5. I'd wait. You know, it's an 8:10, 8 o'clock game. Maybe you can get a 5. Does late – you know, big money or, I don't know, more public money hit the Nets. I would look for a 5, but to me, it's Bulls or nothing here. And we do know Bulls as a short dog, especially dog with a high total, leads to some more variance. It is a profitable spot historically. So I'd go Bulls or nothing here. I think this is a sneaky, sharp play to Chicago.
Okay, and then we have the Knicks and the Lakers. Into the break, I was mentioning this ankle situation with LeBron James. I mean, they're teasing everybody with it. He's going to be out. It is the Knicks-Lakers, though. Lakers at home, -5.5. I think the Lakers proved something to themselves, more importantly than anything else, when they beat the Suns recently. How do you see this game, Josh?
Yeah, so first off, I think give props to the Knicks here. They've been one of the best teams ATS, 43 and 24 ATS. They've also been great first half. These are these little things with the Knicks that have been really good so far this season. I'm seeing right now, Pritch, I'm not sure if there's an injury. I'll check during the break, but it's funny how betting works and timing works. The minute you start asking me, this thing's falling toward the Knicks a little bit here, Pritch. It opened at -5, -5.5 Lakers. And I'm starting to see it get down to 5. One book's looking like it might go to 4.5. Okay. I'm wondering if maybe AD is out or somebody's out here. So I have to keep an eye on that. The other one is the total here, Pritch. You did have some under money come in. It was like 213.5 down to around 212.5 at this point. I'm going to have to see the injury, what's going on here with the line move. But my first inclination was, yeah, a little under money coming in. But these low total non-conference overs, when it's 215 or less, these really, really low ones, they tend to go over at about 56% clip the last decade. So we'll see what's going on injury-wise. But a little bit of move to the Knicks, and they have been great as a ATS play, as a dog on the road, all these situations they've done well with. And then also the under. If that thing keeps falling, I think if you can buy low, if that gets to like 211 and a half, I'm sure you're gonna have some buyback there to the over.
Well, I was gonna ask you about this matchup because you have two highly ranked defensive teams out here. Is that total, where is that total in accordance to that and into that relation? 213 and a half.
Yeah, so I think number one, you know, the public is getting smarter and smarter every year. You know, and so in that regard, you hear a lot about these teams playing great defense. So it's really not a lopsided. Like typically, the public, if they see a 213.5, hammer that over. It's way too low. However, they keep hearing, you know, on every station and, you know, talk radio that they're both really good defensively.
Right.
So that kind of leads to a little bit evening out in terms of percentages. So it is low. But again, you know, the Knicks have been sneaky, I would say, recently to some overplays. But let's just see during the break what's going on with that spread. Is AD or someone out? There's something up there with the Lakers.
It's an appropriate time for a break here, certainly, because we need that information, Josh. But then also need that information all the way up to tip when it comes to the association. We'll continue with some basketball talk, but we're going to shift gears in terms of who's going to be the number one pick in this coming draft for the NBA. That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. BetMGM has a fun way to join sports betting excitement. Win $100 for a $1 wager on either the Lakers or the Knicks to hit a three in tonight's game. Just use bonus code VSIN100 and get in the ring with the king of sportsbooks. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com for more details and use promo code VSIN100. It's a new customer offer, paid and free bets. Must be at least 21 years of age, located in Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia or West Virginia. Excludes Michigan dissociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. If you feel you have a problem, it's 1-800-522-4700. In Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia, 1-800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa and Tennessee. Call or text to Redline, 800-889-9789. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back. It's Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you. Josh, we have some odds on who is going to be the number one pick in the 2021 NBA draft. So leading the way, Cade Cunningham, minus 500 out of Okie State. Jalen Suggs, another point guard out of Gonzaga. He's plus 800. Mobley, Evan Mobley, USC. He's a center, power forward type of player, I guess. He's plus 800. Where are you with these numbers?
Yeah, so first off, Pritch, just to put a button on what we had last segment, that movement was for LeBron for the Lakers there in that game, because I thought he was out, going to be out anyway, or doubtful anyway, but it looks like Adrian Wojnarowski here, kind of, he mentioned that LeBron is going to give his right ankle one more day of rest, not play today against the Knicks, and then try to play Wednesday versus the Rockets. So I thought he wasn't going to play anyway. That was, you know, again, I'm surprised by that, but that movement dropping now, and if you like the Knicks, they were 5.5 a minute ago. They're down to five. I'm seeing some 4.5s, 4s. So if you like them, you probably want to get it sooner rather than later. But Pritch, I have an interesting take on this one, and I'm excited we can talk about Cade Cunningham, because I think the key when you're betting a lot of these futures is getting the right number and not being too scared off by a number that, you know, on the first reflection is really high. So what I'm getting at here is I'm laying the wood with Cade Cunningham minus 500, because if you look at kind of the evolution of some of these top picks, what I like in it is, you know, I remember, I think it was at the end of the college football season last year when the odds makers first started releasing first overall pick odds, Trevor Lawrence opened at, I think, minus 200 or minus 300, minus 375 around there. By the time the draft rolls around, you know, Trevor Lawrence is minus 10,000. So I think at first glance, you look at this and you say, Cade Cunningham minus 500, you know, that's way too high. I can't risk that number. But if that number is minus 500 now, but by the time the draft rolls around, which I think is July 29th, end of July, what if Cade Cunningham is then minus 5,000, minus 10,000? So to me, this is kind of a generational type player. I watched a lot of Oklahoma State games, you know, betting college basketball throughout this season. And to me, he's kind of like a mini Jason Tatum, like 6'8", great offensive game. He's only 19 years old. Love Suggs, love Mobley, some of these other guys. But my first inclination is I'm taking that minus 500 right now. I know it's a big number. I know it's early, but I have a premonition here, Pritch. I think this Cunningham number is going to be, you know, minus 5,000, minus 10,000 by the time the week of the draft rolls around.
Okay, so July 29th, NBA draft. Cade Cunningham, he's 6'8". Play anywhere on the floor, really. Minus 500 seems like it's probably a good price right now for him. Conspiracy theorist, are you that kind of guy, Josh? Because if we're looking at ping pong balls and the NBA, if we're looking at that, okay, you got Houston and then you have OKC, the Thunder right there too down there. So who's going to get the most or who's going to have the most ping pong balls, I guess, for the lottery in that situation? Cade Cunningham at minus 500, probably a good price to grab right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. And again, you know, in kind of like previous years when I was younger and I was always look at these props, I'd almost always take a flyer on some of these guys down the list. So, you know, I can get Suggs plus 800, you know, Mobley, even some of these guys that skipped college, went right to the G League, made some money, played against NBA competition, Kuminga and Green, both these guys 10-1. But I think as you kind of see these markets develop and you kind of have the experience of going through these number one pick markets, and I'm the type of guy, I really like these type of bets, because I think if you're forward thinking and you can kind of anticipate things, kind of like with that Zach Wilson number two bet that we made, Pritch, with Michael Lombardi, and that ended up cashing. If you can anticipate early, so the first inclination is the number's too high, but it's high for a reason, and it's probably only going to get higher. Now, I'll look like a complete idiot here if you know, Suggs goes number one, but to me, the way these markets typically work is that this number one odds-on favorite, unless it's a year where a lot of guys are very even, and there's no one player that's better than the rest, but to me, that one player is Cunningham. I think the line's going to get higher. I'm more than happy to lay the 500 right now,
Perch. Okay, yeah, I mean, outside of that, if Detroit starts tanking, maybe they can qualify for the most ping pong balls. But right now, Houston, you do have OKC, and then you do have Detroit there, as well as, okay, Cleveland, the usual suspects. Cade Cunningham, again, 6'8", can play anywhere on the floor. Suggs, you know, he's just a guard. I mean, he's going to be a guard. He's a fantastic guard, certainly. But depending on which one of those teams, Josh, do you have a lean away from Cade Cunningham? Like say Detroit gets the number one overall pick. I mean, would you still go Cade Cunningham here? I mean, obviously, if you're going to pick him now, you would.
Yeah, I'd go Cunningham anyway. I guess my only fear would be, you know, sometimes, like, what was it, the James Wiseman pick. You know, sometimes a big guy, you fall in love with a big guy, even like that Greg Oden year with KD. So my only concern would be if you get closer and closer, you know, to the draft and everyone's like, Evan Mobley, you know, what is he, 7 feet? I just remember his shorts were so high, Pritch. I feel like he's got the longest legs in the world every time I watch him play. But does someone fall in love with a big man? That would be my only concern there. But, Pritch, I'll be honest with you. I know Patrick Maher, our buddy, native son of Detroit here, he would love the Pistons to get Cunningham. But what if the ping pong balls strike the right way? And let me just throw this to you. What if the T-Wolves win the ping pong balls and you have Anthony Edwards, Cunningham, D'Angelo Russell, Towns is a team that they get all these star players and really they just continue to stink every year. But imagine betting some overs with those guys on the floor all at the same time, Rich.
It'll be the process, not on the East, though, in the Midwest. Because I was thinking back to the process out there with the 76ers after a coach, after a GM, after all that, okay, they finally put it together with the process out there. You know, not the 7-footers all at once on one court, but certainly, no, that would be a pretty potent lineup, though, if that could happen.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then what you mentioned here, Pritch, what about OKC? We know that they have a million, you know, number one picks coming here. And then I think they got, I can't even tell you the right number, but I think they have like 30 first round picks over the next, I don't know, 5-6 years, something crazy like that. But you do have the OK connection, you know, OK State, now Oklahoma City. They, you know, if the ping pong balls maneuver your way, that would be interesting as well. Kind of a, you know, stay at home, a big boon there for a kind of a small market team.
Okay, Josh, considering how fun, enjoyable the 2021 NFL draft was, we have odds to be the number one pick in the 2022 NFL draft already. Kayvon Thibodeau, He's an edge rusher from Oregon. I don't know anything about this young man. He's plus 250. Spencer Rattler, I heard of him. He's a quarterback out there in Oklahoma. He's plus 300. Sam Howell, he's a quarterback, North Carolina. He's plus 400. Slovis, a quarterback from USC, is plus 800 as well. Where are you at with these numbers?
So I'll be totally honest, Pritch, I have no idea. You know, this is like, I'll just be totally honest with you. You know, on the one hand, I look at these NBA first number one overall pick odds. I'm like, bet it now because it's going to, you know, move up, I imagine, further toward Cunningham. Right now, I think this is kind of just to get some buzz, to get some hype. I do remember, I think it was Oregon. They did a weird schedule in the Pac-12, but I think they had that game against USC where Thibodeau popped a little bit. I don't have much information on him. You do know that this is usually a quarterback number one overall pick. The last non-quarterback was, who was it, Clowney? Or I don't even remember who it was here, Pritch. But one of these quarterbacks, I mean, Rattler, Howell, Slovis, those would be the guys I would look toward. But again, you know, you could say on the one hand, a guy like Slovis supposed to be, remember he came in real young at USC and has some pretty good numbers here, but he's plus 800 now. Does he start off first month of the year putting up great numbers? Then he's down to, you know, plus 200, something like that. But with so little information, you know, Sam Howell's a guy I know Michael Lombardi likes a lot at North Carolina. But it's so early for this one, Pritch, that to me, you're better off waiting and maybe jumping early that first month of the season if you start to see one of these guys really separate himself from the pack.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, Thibodeau, he's there because he's an edge. Miles Garrett was the last number one overall pick outside of a quarterback. Spencer Rattler, I mean, I don't know, plus 300. Because they're quarterbacks, Josh, that's the only consideration here, right?
Yeah, totally agree. And I guess the, you know, the Rattler connection is, you know, Oklahoma and being coached by Lincoln Riley. And, you know, we've seen Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray have that kind of connection. So this is a guy that makes a big leap here. You know, that kind of makes a little bit of sense to me. But also, Pritch, who's going to get the number one pick? Is it going to be one of these teams that already has a quarterback on their roster that they're, you know, committed to? Or, you know, you kind of early on, maybe you had a bad year, but you drafted a guy high? Or is it going to be, hey, let's add to the defense and get an edge guy? So, again, we'll have to see how this plays out. I think it's going to be maybe a little bit easier this year just because we don't have to go through that weird pandemic year where some leagues, you know, some conferences played a lot of games, some didn't play too much. I think it's going to be maybe a little bit easier to evaluate these guys. But you don't have that one Trevor Lawrence guy going into the year where it's like, right, hey, he's, you know, head and shoulders above everyone else.
You know, if you're interested in a quarterback who could perhaps go number one overall pick, just track who they're working with in the off seasons, because these quarterback gurus, like you mentioned, Michael Lombardi, like Sam Howell, like, why, you know, is he working with Peyton Manning in that camp? Is he working with Patrick Mahomes in their camp? So I think for anybody that's interested in these quarterbacks who could potentially go number one overall, just track who they're working out with and who they're training with.
I agree. And then, you know, could there be a guy that no one's even thinking of? Because, you know, if you flash back a year ago, Pritch, I don't think many people really thought of Zach Wilson as like a number two overall pick, smaller school, BYU, but he lights the league on fire and there he is going number two. So is it someone down this list? You could take a shot, say I get a good, you know, payout here. I'd rather get more information, more game film to then try to make a more informed bet.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have time. No need to rush. We got to get through the NBA draft first. Before the NFL 2022 draft. But a lot of excitement, though. A lot of betting, too. So look forward to that. Look forward to hour number two with Josh Towers, Major League Baseball. This is coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.